You will turn with me this morning in your pew Bibles, or if you have your Bible, if you would turn with me to the book of Galatians in your pew Bible. It's found on page 176. But if you'll turn with me there, Galatians, the first chapter, and I want to read verses 6 through 9. Verses 6 through 9. Paul is speaking to the church. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we have proclaimed to you, let them be accursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, let them be accursed. Thanks be to God for this God's word to us. Amen. It's all about freedom. It's all about freedom. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. I believe that there is something about July 4th that no matter where you might be on the political spectrum, we are all able to celebrate what has been done, the promise of the future, and the hope that we share right now as we speak about freedom. Martin Luther King declared that a new day for all God's children would be when we are able to say, free at last, free at last. Who among us growing up, and especially if we had strict parents, thought to ourselves that one day we will be free? Freedom today is often debated, from changing the driving and sadly the drinking age of our kids. To what does freedom look like on a global scale, and at what cost? Freedom. The conversation is about freedom. It's all about freedom. I wanted to begin this way, because when you come to the book of Galatians, you have a diverse community. A community that was religious in the sense that they had the law of Moses. When we speak of the law of Moses, it is far beyond the Ten Commandments. For there were thought to be some 600 rules on what a person could do and what they could not do. These laws sought to order the life of the people to the point that no one could keep it. A person might try, and often the attempt was through what a person was trying to do. They were hoping that through their good works, through what it was that they might do, it would lead to salvation with God. The hope was that what they might do, a person might enter into relationship with God. The church at Galatia was new to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul had witnessed to them directly, but there were persons around them who believed and had confidence in the law, who believed in works, and it was having some impact among the people. So Paul writes in verse 6 and says to them, "I am astonished that you who were so quickly, or that you would so quickly turn away or desert the gospel that was called to you in the grace of Jesus Christ, that you would so quickly turn away and turn to a different gospel." Paul goes on to say that it is no gospel at all. Was it that the people were not sinful and did not need the gospel? No, Paul says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Was it works that could save them? No. And the people need not think that being a part of any religious movement could save them as well. I think Paul gets fired up about this teaching. And he tells the people, if you hear an angel teaching or preaching this kind of doctrine, then the angel is wrong. And this is not the gospel. When you think about it, this is also the message of John Wesley and Martin Luther. This message, these words may seem harsh, and yet they were written out of love and concern for the people. Paul reminds them of just what Christ has done for them. For in the sacrifice of Christ, we are forgiven. In the sacrifice of Christ, we have life now, and life more abundant. In the sacrifice of Christ, we have a life that is bearing much fruit. I know that there is death all around us. And here I speak of spiritual death, where we exist but do not really live. We are meant to live. And yes, the scripture does say that one day we will be absent from the body, but we will be present with the Lord. Works, or just trying to do good, cannot achieve these things. But living by faith can. Living by faith can. You know, it is said that in the desert it is seemingly void of all life. But given a little rainfall, life springs from the desert, and there is beauty. I guess we all know of times that are like desert within our life. But faith is the water, and if we let it, faith can be like the spring, and it can spring forth within our life, and we can know of beauty. And it is faith that gives us something to base our very life upon. There is a story told of a small village that was hit by an earthquake, and the people all around were very much alarmed. But at the same time, there seemed to be joy in an old woman whom everyone knew. A person went to her and said, "Mother, are you afraid?" "No," said the woman. "I rejoice to know that I have a God who can shake the world." Faith invites patience. A young woman prayed every night for God to send her a good husband. But one night she bowed and prayed and said, "Lord, I'm not going to bother you tonight for a good husband. Instead, I want to pray for my mother and that you would send her a good son-in-law." Faith, it is the promise that we can stand upon. So I wanted you to hear the good news this morning, that there is something that we can base our very life upon. For in doing so, we are basing our life upon Christ and the good news of the gospel for all who will hear and for all who will receive it. The good news of the gospel is freedom. Freedom. There are chains all around us. I know that I have chains. There are chains all around us. I know I have some. Probably your testimony too this morning is that you know about chains. But the last word is not those chains. The last word, and there is no turning back now, the last word is not the chains. The last word is, we are free. We are free. Thanks be to God, we are free. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Receive, O God, the gift of our very life. Help us to claim the freedom that we have in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.